Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Laura Jones, welcome to Conversations That Matter.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Small business in Canada, it plays a vital role in our economy. How important is small business?
Small business is incredibly important. They play an enormous role. Let's just look at employment. I mean, over half the private sector jobs are in small business. So small businesses create jobs, but they do way more than just creating jobs. You know, in an economic downturn, big businesses are really quick to shed jobs. Small businesses are not. They try and keep their employees, and what that does is it creates a lot of economic stability, even when we do have economic downturns. That's a really important role they play. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I mean, they are just so connected to their communities, because a small business owner isn't some guy on the 34th floor of a big office tower, right? They are talking directly to their customers, and they are really involved in their local communities. So they're doing things like supporting the local baseball teams, and they understand their customers. That's why they're known for great service, and they really spark up our communities. They bring us a lot of joy, but we often kind of forget that. They kind of like we take it for granted, right? It's like, oh yeah, that local coffee shop is always going to be there, or our favorite bookstore or restaurant, or you know, our favorite mechanic that does a great job on our car. We kind of take it for granted sometimes, but small business, incredibly important to the health of Canada and to our communities within Canada.
How hard is it to start, run, operate, and stay in business when you're a small business?
You know, I think a lot of people dream about having their own business, and the reality of running a business is a little different from the dream. Mm-hmm. It's pretty tough. I think it's very creative. It's almost art. It's so creative what mm-hmm. you do in a business, because you take, think about making a loaf of bread and selling it in a bakery, right? You've got to take all of these parts, the flour, the sugar, the yeast, the labor, the rent that goes into making that loaf of bread. And the sum has to be more than the parts, because you have to make enough money when you sell that loaf of bread to pay your employees and to pay your suppliers for the flour and the sugar and the yeast. So it's an incredibly creative thing that business owners do, but they take a lot of risk to do it mm-hmm. because it's also an incredibly challenging thing to do. So yes, it's rewarding, but it's risky, it's challenging, and so it's tough to run a business.
Well, now let's talk about the marriage between small business and government. Government sort of goes, well, we give you the environment in which you can operate, and so therefore we deserve to have a portion of the money that you make, even though we don't actually do any of the work. And the government says, and we're number one in line every single month for you to pay us.
It's really tough, and I would say that right now things are very tough for businesses. There are a lot of increased costs coming onto businesses, a bit of a dog pile of bad policy being loaded on the backs of small businesses. So let's just look at a few things that are coming. Mm-hmm. CPP. CPP is going to be increasing for 7 straight years starting in 2019. And that's not just money out of the small business owner's pocket, of course. That is money out of their employees' and their customers' pockets. So that's going to be very challenging. EI premiums, another payroll tax, mm-hmm. Going up 3% next year. Then you've got carbon taxes across Canada coming into play for small businesses. So you've got this big dog pile, and then you've got this massive uncertainty that's just been created when the finance minister announced in the middle of July, when, you know, of course, all Canadians are paying attention to public policy in the middle of July,
but
the one month of good weather we get, right?
I detect a little bit of cynicism there.
Well, It's just, the middle of July, they announce a tax consultation on something that is just, you know, we're looking at a major reform to the way the small business tax rate operates. And these reforms look to us like they're going to be very, very destructive. I know we talked to many of our accountant members. We had a big call with them this morning. Mm-hmm. And they're very, very concerned about the impacts of some of these reforms.
What are their major concerns?
Well, they're basically making some pretty significant changes to 3 provisions. And the 2 that we're really worried about are how the government is going to treat passive income and how they're going to treat income sharing within a business. And, you know, if you run a business, you know this. it's a family affair, right? The whole family is taking the risk. If the business fails, the family fails.
Right.
And so there are some tax provisions that have been put in place that help small businesses with that problem. And
somebody in government who recognized the contribution of small business?
You know.
Where'd that person go?
Yeah. Well, over time, this is why organizations like the Canadian Federation of Independent Business exist, right? Because you constantly have to fight for small business, and you constantly have to make sure that they have a seat at the table. If you're not at the table, as one of my friends once said, if you're not at the table in these negotiations with big government, big business, you will be dinner. And that is definitely the case when it comes to tax policy.
Why? Why do we have to constantly fight to support small business? What is it that makes governments think, well, you're not a big enough constituency for me to really care?
I think sometimes, you know, we look at the small business owners who have done well, and what we see is that they're doing well and their business is booming and they've got lots of customers, so they must have lots of money. Of course, we forget about the rent and the flour and the sugar and all of the things that you have to pay for. But we have this idea that, you know, businesses have deep pockets. And some small business owners have done well. Good for them, because
yeah.
they took a lot of risk to get there. And what we don't see is all of those years when, you know, they were borrowing from friends and family and the stress of that. And what we don't see is all the sweat equity that goes into that. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it, is there's a feeling like, oh, and there's kind of a lumping small business in with big business, and all business have deep pockets. But small businesses are different. They work in very, very competitive markets. And it's often very lean. The margins are slim, the risks are big. And, you know, I'm really worried about these new tax proposals. And obviously we're going to be fighting them very hard, but we're going to be engaging small business owners in the fight as well. That's the only way we're going to win this one.
So when you take a look at the odds of surviving a small business, I read a fascinating article maybe a dozen years or so ago now, where it said that if you took 100 businesses, and in the first 5 years, how many of those do you think would make it through those first 5 years? And the answer is about 20. But you're not over the hump there. There's so many people who think, oh yeah, 5 years, there you go, you're home free. If only. Of those 20, how many make it to year 10? 4. So the odds are like 4% that you'll make it to year 10. And even then, it's still a struggle. And then along comes, well, you know, you get a government that comes along and says, here, I'm just going to make it a little bit more difficult.
Well, it's risky. It's very risky to what you're pointing out with that 4 out of 10 that are surviving past that 5-year mark, is that it's a very risky thing to do. And because it's risky, there have to be some rewards. And the small business tax policy have built some of that in. So
mm-hmm.
there's some incentive for people to take these risks.
Right.
Because not everybody, if everybody wants to be an employee, then we have no employers. And that's a problem, right? So we need to have some people who are willing to take those risks. And we have to be very careful about what we do in tax policy and regulatory policy in particular, about not making it so unattractive. One of the accountants we talked to this morning about this said to, you know, he said, look, if these proposed tax changes go through, I'm going to be recommending to my clients that they don't do it, that they don't go into business. That's pretty scary.
Yes, it is. And what does it say to somebody who is in a small business and hits that point where there's a little bit of a downturn? You touched on that point earlier when you said when there's a downturn in the economy, larger businesses shed employees. And they seem to do it with, well, little regard. As small businesses go well, you say, hang on a second, I know you, I know your family, we're in this together. I'm going to figure out some way to get through this with you. I'll borrow against my house. I'll take a pay cut. I'll not take my paycheck. There's all sorts of things that you try and do to preserve and keep what's going on.
Absolutely.
Talent base and so on. Is the message now that's coming, don't bother doing that because nobody else is looking out for you, so why should you look after anybody else? And doesn't that... I'm on my own soapbox here, but I find that, you know, it's so much a part of the Canadian economy, and yet it's so difficult to do.
I find it extremely ironic that we are giving, that politicians are giving so much lip service to improving the lot of the middle class. Small business is the middle class. Right. There is no better representation of the middle class than Main Street. And so we
are... That was a big election platform in the last federal election.
We are, on the one hand, saying, you know, we need to help the middle class. And on the other hand, we are loading all kinds of additional costs and uncertainty onto the middle class. We are increasing their payroll taxes. We are increasing carbon taxes. We are looking at massive changes that will make running a business more difficult. And businesses, you know, they don't have gold-plated pensions at the end of the day, right? They rely on their businesses for things like retirement. Mm-hmm. And so some of the changes that they're looking at with respect to kind of income that you keep in the business, and they call it passive income. It's quite technical, some of the changes they're looking at. But business owners use that for insurance, for emergencies, for big purchases that they need to make. And changing these rules is not going to be a good thing. It looks like it's going to be a very bad thing. And I think it's extremely problematic that the consultation period for this is so short. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they're looking at ending the consultation at the beginning of October. Well, I mean, by the time people have paid attention to it and gotten back to it from their summer break, mm-hmm. if they're lucky if they get one, if they're in a small business, but still, hopefully they get a little bit of a break, right? That's about a month. Mm-hmm. And a month for these kind of massive changes, and this is the same thing, by the way, that we did with CPP. There was no real consultation with the people who are going to be affected, the business owners, and also, by the way, Canadians. I don't think Canadians really have a clue what's happening in 2019 with their CPP. And these are big policy changes.
What is happening with CPP? And then let's go back to the tax. But what's happening in 2019 with CPP, for those who don't know?
CPP premiums are starting to go up, and they're going to go up for 7 years, starting in 2019, increases every year to your CPP.
And that affects all of us.
That affects all of us who are working, right? That affects all of us. And the amounts are not small. I mean, it depends on how much money you make and everything else. But we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of dollars out of your paycheck every year. And a lot of Canadians don't have a clue that this is coming. Mm-hmm. And for a small business owner with 4 or 5 employees, these costs are not in the hundreds. These costs are in the thousands of dollars. And thousands of dollars, those are big numbers for small businesses.
So now let's take a look at some of the specifics that we know right at the moment about this. You know, the let's slide it in through July tax changes. First of all, there's income sharing. And why is that important to a small business?
Well, this is important to a small business because then if your husband or your wife works in the business, you can share that income, and that reduces your tax load a little bit. And of course, again, as I said, running a small business, it's a family affair. If mm-hmm. you've got a small business in the family, you know that everyone's involved in the small business. And so this was set up in order to recognize that reality and make things a little bit easier. And so that's one we're worried about.
And that's a big part of it. And yet, when you hear the finance minister talk about it, he talks about the fact that we're trying to get, you know, to catch those people who are cheating on that.
Well, this is really insulting. Actually, we've heard from a lot of small businesses that they are very insulted by the tone that the government is taking around mm-hmm. these consultations. That the tone is kind of using this kind of language as if people are trying to cheat taxes. I mean, these are rules that were set up for a good reason. Mm-hmm. And they're also talking about things like, well, the professionals, you know, it's the doctors and the lawyers. I think we have to be really careful with this too, right? First of all, you know, yes, doctors often earn good salaries.
Pretty good salary.
Yeah, but they invest a lot of time and effort to get where they are. And mm-hmm. the other reality is, again, talking to a group of accountants this morning, fascinating. You know, one of them talking about he already knows a radiologist who's moving to the States because of the fear of what these tax changes might do. The tax changes haven't even come into effect,
right.
But he's worried about it and what it will do to his income. The other thing is that a lot of provincial governments who negotiate with doctors, this was set up so that we could keep, you know, some of those wage adjustments in mm-hmm. check. So this is going to have big consequences. You know, we have to really think it through. This is, it's crazy to be proceeding with this at light speed.
There is a doctor shortage, and this can exacerbate that. I know that an orthopedic surgeon, for instance, they go to school for about 13 years before they really become
a lot of dough.
Wage earners. And yet, then they enter the workforce, they have to set up an office, they have to get a medical assistant, they have to buy equipment, they have to get operating room privileges, and all those sorts of things, and they're getting maybe 1, 2, 3 days a month that they can operate. They're going, I'm already handcuffed by this same system, and now they're telling me that if my wife is my medical assistant, we can't be eligible for income splitting. How are we addressing the problems that are out there for real Canadians, if this is what we're doing?
Absolutely. No, you make some very good points there.
But then the other part of this that I found troubling is, at the end of having built a small business, you've put away a little bit of money, you put it into an investment vehicle of some sort. Now they're going to go after that as well, with no consideration for all the hard ups and downs, where you financed the business, where you kept those people employed.
From what we understand, actually, this is the most troubling piece of all of the reforms that they are proposing, because they'll now be taxing that money that you leave. And first of all, how they know what is just money that you're leaving in the business versus money that you are, I mean, how they're going to figure out what they're going to tax at what rate, that's going to be a regulatory nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But the other point is that this money is important. We were talking to our accountants again this morning, were giving us examples of, there's a lot of seasonal businesses, for example, amusement park or a ski hill, and you can invest some of that income to insure yourself against adverse weather effects. You can put it in derivatives, and you know, it's a form of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, business owners are creative about how they use this, as we need them to be, to keep the price of a ski ticket down.
Mm-hmm. What's the message? What is the message that people are hearing ultimately, and what can you do to say, let's push this back, and no, keep going out there and creating small businesses because we need them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the message is not the one the government intends to send. I mean, I do believe that there's a lot of sincerity around the idea of supporting the middle class. I think that's something that everybody can nod their heads yes to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's just a miss on this policy, and they really need to look at who this is affecting. And so that's part of it. But in terms of what we can do, you're not powerless in this. We're not powerless in this. There is a lot that we can do. And just contacting your MP and saying, I am not happy about what I'm hearing with respect to these changes that we're making to, why would we be increasing taxes on small business when they do so much good for our community?
Okay,
and
but
I know.
But does that actually work? Because
it
people
does
go,
work.
Oh my gosh, they don't even listen to me.
I know,
me.
And people think, oh my gosh, you know, I don't even know who my MP is, right? Well, it's not that hard to find out who your MP is,
yeah.
First of all. And does it work? Actually, it does. Because when an MP hears directly from constituents, all it takes is about 4 or 5. You talk to people in constituency offices, they'll tell you this. Oh, when they get 4 or 5, 6 calls on the same issue, they start getting nervous. Because they know for every call they get, it's like the rats, right? Every rat you see, you know there's 100 more. Every call you get, there's many more people who are concerned about it. So I think it can have an impact. That's only one way you can go about, you know, expressing your voice. But
but
the point is that as small business owners and as Canadians more generally, we do need to express our voice. We elect the people we are not powerless in this. We have votes. We elect the people who are putting in place these policies. And we need to tell those people that we are not happy with these policies. It's as simple and as hard as that. I know we're all busy. It's hard to think, oh, do I want to send an email or, you know, pick up the phone and call my MP? Do it. It makes a difference.
And what are you at the CFIB doing particularly about this issue? And then how are you supporting small business generally?
Well, you know, CFIB was founded on a tax fight, so we love a good tax fight, and we won that one back in the day. There was a proposal 40 years ago to tax small businesses at effectively double the rate big businesses are paying. We won that one. We intend to win this one. And we've got, you can go on our website, cfib.ca. There's a petition you can fill out. We're getting those petitions to the MPs. We're obviously talking about it in the media. We're doing a lot of meetings with politicians across Canada, with MPs across Canada, and sharing our concerns about these policies. And we'll be working with the government. We'll be looking for how do we constructively find a way through this. But we're very, very concerned. Our message is that we're very concerned about these policies.
Well, I think it matters. The outcome of this really does matter.
It does matter.
Laura Jones, thank you very much for coming in and doing this.